Okay, you ready?
Sure.
What did the river say when it saw beavers approaching?
What?
I'll be damned. No? Your turn.
I really enjoy hearing all of the national anthems played at the Olympics.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love country music.
Welcome to Intermission, a show about anything and everything band-related, proving that band is fun. My name's Kim Shuttlesworth.
And I'm Riaz Muhammad.
In today's episode of Welcome to the Jungle, we dig right into Bandtober. Buckle up, everybody.
We're here.
Happy Thursday. Today's Thursday. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have my... Oh, I do have my laptop here, so I can do something today.
Yeah. Do something today to make it sound like we're not busy at all.
All the time. But yesterday was one of those days where I was like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I played my new game on my phone for about 30 minutes.
I was going to say, I got a lot of stuff done yesterday. It was mostly a desk work day.
Yeah. But we're here. We did not podcast last week because it was our first contest week.
Yeah, we were kind of occupied.
Extremely busy.
It's October. Which means it's Bandtober.
But in reality, we need a new name because ours is November.
Mm.
Bandvember.
Mm-mm.
No?
It's like Bandtober plus 2 weeks.
That's true, because we go all the way till hopefully till November 12th. Yeah. But I was thinking about that because someone asked me that last night, like, when do your performance dates? And I started giving them in October, and then I was like, November.
Yeah.
November 2nd, 4, 7, 9.
Yeah, our schedule
11
this year,
and hopefully 12.
Our schedule this year is pretty spread out in terms of the intensity of October. So last week we did HEB.
The last 2 weeks of the season, all we do is perform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all we do is perform. Yeah. We just turn around, perform, turn around, perform, turn around, perform.
Yeah, this is the most not intense October that I've ever had, I think.
Yeah, once we get through this weekend.
Yeah. We'll get a two-week break.
We get about a two-week, actually three-week break almost. But
before going into region, into area.
No, that's all a week, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's where we are of what we're doing. So today, you said you wanted to talk to me about something.
Oh, yeah. No, so the first thing, I was scrolling the internet at night when I couldn't sleep, and I saw ABA posted something a while ago that I just keep forgetting to talk about. But we talked about SUSE a lot. Mm-hmm. And for the children listening, the comment on this, and it's just a picture of SUSE with a little brass ensemble. It says, when asked about his method of training thousands of naval musicians of different backgrounds and skills, Lieutenant SUSE at the time said, scales. Scales played as slowly and as carefully as it is possible to play them. There's nothing like them. I've been able in my own band to assemble what are probably the most able players in the country. But at the beginning of each session, I always start them with some scale practice. Then if there's anything the matter with their tone production or intonation, it comes out very readily.
I knew SUSE was my man. So basically, practice your scale.
Yeah. So whenever we give you independent practice time for region band music, children, it doesn't mean how well can you play Careless Whisper. It actually means practice your instrument.
And listen, yesterday I was so, this is an honest moment, I was so annoyed, but I was too tired to deal with it.
To do anything about it, yeah.
When I noticed so many kids just sitting on their phone.
We see you.
We see you. And believe me, it won't ever happen again.
And then when you're like, what can I do about my audition?
Maybe you should not have been on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, is that the only thing?
Oh, that was the first thing. And I need to turn my airplane mode off.
So sorry for the popping.
To show you this video. I just thought this was really interesting. If it'll load now. So I'm showing her this video, which is really intriguing.
This is a robot conducting?
It's a robot conductor.
Aaron Owens is snapping you right now, by the way. Aaron, shouldn't you be teaching your class right now?
Probably. But the conductor on the podium.
He's not on a podium. He's
off to the side. So which makes me think there's like a human conductor on the other side.
Where do we think the human conductor is?
Off screen, maybe. But that's the Central Conservatory of Music in Beijing. So I don't know, like, if there's a robot conductor full time.
Are they about to replace us?
That's what I'm saying. AI is coming.
This robot looks pretty legit, like that movie years ago, I, Robot.
Yeah, Will Smith.
With Will Smith, it definitely looks like that homie right there.
Yeah. So I just thought that was weird and something interesting that I've never seen it before.
You know what I think would be interesting? You know how they make video games and so they get the athletes to come in and they wear all those little bulbs to graph out how they hit? I hope one day they take Jerry Junkin and put him in this little...
Cover him in like little sticky pads.
And sticky pad things or whatever they are.
Or one of those motion detector
and
suits.
And have him conduct so that a robot would look like him.
I'd be interested to see what that's like.
Right?
Or like measuring...
Or even, what's his face from L.A.?
Dudamel.
If they put Dudamel...
He's in New York now.
Or is he in New York?
I think so.
I don't know where he is. But either wherever he is, also put it in his hair. So that... You get the whole, like, effect.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous. I wonder if, like, a conductor, if they've looked at the health statistics of a conductor, like, wearing a heart monitor on the podium just to see, like, how it affects you.
Right.
That'd be interesting.
Listen, it tells me I work out, so I'm taking it.
Yeah. When your watch goes off, it looks like you're on a run right now.
And I say, it sure is. I'm trying to keep these kids in time. I'm trying to chase them. That's what it is.
Oh, it's funny. So anyway.
Or at the end of their concert, it says, are you finished with your workout? And I'm like, you know what? Yes.
Let me have
finished.
A seat. But going back to the robot thing, I remember there's this VR headset thing that you put on and you're like the conductor of a digital ensemble. So there's that. And remember a long time ago?
You just told me how much of a nerd you were.
I think, well, no, I just... scroll the internet too much is what it is. And then I don't know if you remember this a while ago. I think it was Yamaha came out with that robot trumpet player.
Huh?
Oh. We will continue with our podcast while I look this up. But yeah, that's a thing.
A robot trumpet player?
Yeah.
Why would you need a robot when we are all machines?
False. Let me stop you right there.
So, well, while he's talking about this, let's talk about a little bit as he's pulling this up. Have you found it yet?
No.
What if it doesn't exist?
No.
He's been having memory issues.
Toyota. It was Toyota.
Yamaha. Toyota. They build cars.
Ironically, it's a Toyota. We're about to watch a Toyota partner robot playing. You've never seen this?
Name the piece. Uh-huh.
I know the tune. It's right.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yeah, 13 years ago. Oh, La Perry. There you go. That's cheap. So this video was posted 13 years ago, so I wonder.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Is it really playing it?
I don't know.
Look, it has no lips.
But you're not wrong.
How does it have an embouchure? Is that because listen, that sounded like a recording. There was no vibration. Let's see.
There's vibrato in that. I want to know how this works. You've never seen this?
No. What was it, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
I was living in a hole trying to get through buoy. First of all, why is he not in our band? Because I was in tune.
That's a whole thing.
Oh my gosh, there's tons of videos of this.
Yeah, so I wonder what the technology is like now. I can't find a current video, but yeah. Isn't that wild?
That's nuts.
We're about to be replaced. I doubt it. Considering that's 13 years ago, we haven't heard about it.
That's true.
Anyway.
That's true.
So I just thought I'd enlighten everybody.
There's our randomness for the day.
Yeah.
So we want to talk a little bit about today, about obviously Bantober. Everyone's in it. But something that we haven't discussed in past seasons is, what do we do with the feedback that we're given when we start going? Obviously, this is centered around high school marching band right now, but it could be centered around anything, an early contest festival that you go to,
UIL, pre-UIL,
things like that. So we just went through our first contest last weekend at HEB, which John Pollard and that crew does a great job hosting, Ellie Bell and Trinity. And so have a lot of world-class judges Shooting coming. Course. And then we went to the clinics on Sunday, the next day, to kind of get some feedback. And then you have all this, so you get tapes, obviously, from 6 or 7 judges. And then what you do with those tapes is completely up to you as the director or as the designer, whatever it is. And so... earlier, when I was younger in the field and I would get feedback, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I have to change everything because everything's bad.
Yep.
Everything's on fire. But I think now, especially, I'd like to kind of chat like through after so many years of doing this, you know, what do I do in terms of the feedback that's given to me?
But I would also say that I think you also now approach it differently, because you're now on the other side. Like you do the adjudicator things too. So you kind of, you have a better understanding in depth of what the sheet is looking for. So like way early on in the early season, you kind of have the ability to sort of, I don't want to say plan to the rubric, but plan to the rubric.
Well, and I think that has access to everyone too.
Yes. Well, the sheets are posted online.
Right. And so, that's the one thing I want to talk about. The sheets are posted online for people that don't know that. You can access anyone's sheets to try to figure out, you know, what is, in terms of like a rubric style grading, how they're using the sheets. What I love most about the sheets now than as opposed to previous years within a rubric, it'll ask you a question to bring you to an answer and not just assume that you can just come to an answer. Like to what breadth and depth did blah, or to what extent did blah, or to, in what level of creativity did you see in blah. So lots of different things that I think as a young band director, I had no idea. I was like, why are you saying that about the group when we're just marching and playing, you know? And so being better educated about the sheets, which they offer clinics about them. They offer you the ability to watch about it. You can find some stuff on YouTube about things like that. I thought it would be important maybe to kind of talk through, okay, so here are the sheets, here's the feedback, and then what do we do next in terms of planning? Because like in Texas, obviously we're limited with time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very strategic about how we build our rehearsal schedules to be most effective to make kids successful, not the sheets successful, but the sheets have to play a part in it because you want to give your kids the best experience, right? And so I kind of wrote down just a couple of things for myself that we're going to break down. So basically the judges' tapes and how much of an influence they make on us, the sheets themselves, how we share the sheets with our kids, the language that we use as we're pushing into a contest, how we utilize recaps when they're given, and what does the data show? I think those are all pretty good things to chat about.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, starting out early in this, going to the clinics themselves was such a big help because, I mean, you're sitting here staring at the sheets and it's up to you to, like, figure out what the interpretation is. But, like, once you go into that clinic and you have a better understanding of what the judge sees and where they're coming from, because if you've never done these clinics before, you walk in with a recording of your show and they'll sit there and spend time with you and walk you through, you know, problem areas or things to address, areas of concern, et cetera, et cetera. What's going well, what's not?
Yeah, so let's break down to, okay, you get done with your prelims performance and you have your tapes. And so you've got some time. So you listen to your tapes between your prelims and finals. And the question is, what do we do with that information going into, if you make finals, going into your final performance of the night? So what we do is we kind of split the tapes up between people. I will listen mainly to music individual and music ensemble for the most part. Our visual people will listen to visual mm-hmm. tapes, and they'll even break them down. Like someone will listen to visual VPI. Individual.
Yeah.
Someone will do ensemble. Someone will do general effect, you know, and like Riaz and I might split up like, hey, I'm going to do these, you do these. And then we kind of gather together and we make a hit list.
Mm-hmm. I usually take notes as I'm listening.
Right.
And just so bullet points.
Everyone has their notes, and then we decide, is there anything that can be adjusted in a matter of a conversation and a warm up?
And adjusted in the sense of it's just small tweaks here and there, not like revamping a whole section of the show.
Right.
You don't have that time.
So what we'll do is we'll go to dinner with the kids. And then sometimes we play a tape for them. Like if we think a tape is super beneficial for them to hear, mm-hmm. to get their mind in the next headspace, we'll do it. Or we'll just give a synopsis of certain tapes.
Yeah. And sometimes, even though the tape will say the same things that we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, it's the whole idea of the clinician effect. Bring in somebody else to say the same things that you've been telling them, and then it automatically clicks. And you just sit there and go, guys, I told you. Now this person is saying it on a tape. It has to be true.
Right. And I will say that I was impressed with the judge feedback that we got this past weekend, mm-hmm. of recognizing, they recognize what we're doing. That's a key part of it. But then also gave suggestions to enhance or just reminders of how to make it be more effective. And so, for instance, you know, they'll say our softs aren't soft enough and are loud. You know, there's not enough contouring in terms of dynamics.
Yes.
So we can talk them through that. And in warm up, I can hit certain spots and say, okay, this is what they're talking about, and I can get that fixed. You know, for instance, you know, our ballad, there was something in the ballad. So I just took some time and I even tuning, like they talked mm-hmm. about tuning. It was really hot that day. So I took the time, I changed my approach in my warm up to really address tuning. So I put them in splits. I had them tune in sections to warm up together, then put it together. Tuning was significantly better.
Yep.
Then I hit the spots that I needed to hit in terms of the tuning to just have it be fresh on the top of their brain. So that was something that we could change.
Essentially on the fly.
On the fly. You know, so we just pick and choose. Or if it was, hey, our feet, you know, aren't looking as good, we might spend 5 more minutes on visual warm up mm-hmm. as than music warm up if our music tapes come back really great. You know, if it's a balance before, you know, between the two, then we'll make the adjustment. And it might be like, hey, in the visual warm up, can we just concentrate on slides because they talked about our shoulders? And that might be the only thing we do in terms of visual is getting those slides correct with the body.
And usually a lot of times with these corrections, it's like, okay, for this section, it's just these two things. Like give them two things to mm-hmm. focus on that's new for them, because obviously we just don't want to overload their brains going into a show.
So that's kind of what we do in terms of the tapes between a prelims and a finals. Is conquer, you know, divide and conquer, and then decide
what we think is important.
What we think is important for the next performance to make them a little bit more successful. And then when we get done with the tapes from finals, when we get done with those, what we do is over the weekend, someone will listen to each one and make mm-hmm. record, you know, we'll make a tick sheet essentially. What we did this year was listen to all the tapes, and then we went into a clinic with some of the judges from the night before. And so here's what I kind of go through. This is my process, and Riaz can talk about it as well or ask me questions about it, just because he may not do it the same way. I have to decide when I'm listening to a tape, and after I, no matter what, I write down what the feedback is. Mm-hmm. And then after I'm done with the feedback, I have to decide what I think is true versus what I think was a read. Like in terms of do I stick to my gut on what I think it should be, or do I need to take this advice and move with it?
Yeah.
Like, was it just a bad run? Was it not developed yet and I'm still going to do it? And so a lot of people, you know, especially younger, they would get these tapes and be like, we have to change this, we have to change this, we have to change this, we have to change this. All of those situations, because that is what a judge's job is to do in when you go into a clinic with them. Like, they're supposed to help you enhance your show, right? And they have a ton of ideas, and they might give you 6 or 7 different ideas for you to enhance this one section. It's your job as the leader of it to decide a couple of things. A, does one of them really fit better than what you have? B, do you think you can get it done if you do want to do it? Or C, is there a way to just enhance what you have on the field as, so that you are able to keep moving? Because it's really hard. Like, I know a lot of people can go through drill changes just like drum corps do, but it's very hard for us to do it here in Texas, obviously, because we have limited time. And so we need to finish. Like, I'll be really honest, Coppell has not put one page of the closer on.
Yep.
We've not done one page yet. It's a long season. I know people are like, oh my gosh, but we have not put one page of the closer on, because we're approaching it a little bit differently this year in terms of our design and our execution, and that the season still has like 7 or 8 more weeks left. So we want to make sure that if we need to make changes, we're making those now as opposed to later. So anyhow, I have to ask myself, is that worth it or is it not? You know, and they give suggestions, and I know that even when I give suggestions that we all mean well, mm-hmm. but I don't expect them to do everything I say, nor when I'm on the judge side of it, nor do I think that they think that I'm going to do everything that they say. You just need to pick and choose what you think is going to elevate their performance level and make them feel more successful.
And maybe you'll walk out of the clinic with like 7 or 8 things that need to be fixed. It's your job. I mean, it's your project at the end of the day. You just have to decide what things are most vital to you or what things can make the most impact in the shortest amount of time.
Because here's the deal. Anybody watching your show can redesign your show for you.
Yeah.
At any moment.
All those Instagram accounts will tell you what you're doing
exactly.
wrong, I promise. What is it? BOA Beats?
BOA Beats, BOA
Best
Things.
Best closer.
Dank Memes, whatever those things are. They are listening. We do see them.
Yeah, we listen and watch.
I don't know why I was watching. So I was, because we have our own private, obviously. I was watching one of our shows. Mm. But then up on the feed came up like, what happened wrong in Major Scale Part 1? And
those
I was like.
Those were our kids.
No, they're not.
Yes. Our kids did that. Yeah.
Who?
I don't remember, but it's internal.
Well, I hope someone else has all of these issues as well. So anyone can redesign your show. So you have to be the leader of the program. And even, I'm going to say an unpopular opinion, even when your designers are pressing you to make changes.
Yep. At the end of the day, your name's on it.
It's true. At the end of the day, you are the one that has to speak for that every single day. So you make the best decision for yourself. And when I say yourself, I mean your program as you're going to do it. What I like to do is I like to find a happy medium of the comments that we get. So I will, like for music, for instance, I will find commonalities of comments between all three judges. So if something is similar, is said similarly, there we go, across all the music tapes, that is something I will change. Because if it's being said, that means it's being said consistently. So it goes to the top of the list mm-hmm. of the change orders or the reteach or the whatever it's going to be. And the same thing with the visual. If I hear, like for instance, We heard something from Jerry, Mr. Miller. I heard something from Katie, and I didn't process it yet because only one person had said that to me, right? And then Jerry kind of picked up on it a little bit, and then it was said in a judge tape. And so I said, oh, okay, so it's been three in a row. Yeah, it's obvious that that needs to be changed. So this is a change order. You know, and so that's the kind of thing that I kind of put in. I don't just jump to change something because someone told me to. Even now, there's a couple of things that I'm curious about in our show that I'm not going to change because I want to get one more read on it from a different panel. And if they say similar things, then that lets me know that that is a true problem versus just maybe it was a weird read, maybe an execution thing on us. Can we adjust some things from week to week to make it more effective? That's what I do. Like I write all the things down and then I highlight that this judge said this, just said, and that's all similar. So that's something that has to go. And at the end of the day, I'll be really honest, guys, it only ends up being three or four things. Yep. Like if you're looking for consistent feedback, and if it's consistently going a certain way where it sounds like we need to make an adjustment, that's what I do. And then everything else, if I can get to it, if I truly believe that's a change, then that's what I'll make, whether it's a musical change or like today, FYI, I'm going to turn something toe down because I just think it's needed, you know, and I think it would help alleviate some of the things that they're saying in terms of body shape. So I was like, okay, we'll just do this and let's see this read and see if people pick up on this and if that's a little bit better in terms of it. Because we're going to go to the clinic on Sunday for the BOA thing and I'm going to see if the comments are the same.
Yeah. And I feel like early season, that's really hard to kind of find the line of what to interpret and how to interpret it because it could be just a first read.
Right.
And they may not understand where you're going with the show at the end of 7 minutes.
I'm
going to
put a butt there. So I have this on my notes because I knew you were going to say this. Okay. The best advice that was given to me years and years ago as I was training was if you don't get it in the first read, then you didn't say it right. Mm. So I think about that in my judging. You know, now DCI is a little bit, I feel like it's a little bit different. Like when I go into a critique, they're like, you missed this, you missed this, you missed this. And I used to very shyly would say, I mean, it was first time seeing it. I'll watch it again. Yeah. Now I'm to the point of no. You didn't communicate that. I'll try to look for it next time, but I didn't. That was not communicated to me in the first round. And so I think it's one of those things that as I'm watching the show, as the director, because I wrote myself a note, you know your show better than anyone. But if you do not sit there and think, did everything I'm hoping to come across? Because it's just like, you know, when you're listening to your music in concert setting, and are you really hearing what's in front of you? Or are you hearing what the reference recording that you're listening to try to get it to be like that? You know, you have to think like on the 90-10 lens of it's got to be 10% what I hope it is, but it's got to be 90% reality. So if you're not seeing it, like you're watching the video from the rehearsal before, that's your read. If you're not seeing all the things you're supposed to see, then that is a problem. Yeah. And that if you can't see it and you're in it every single day, then there's no way a judge is going to see it. You okay? You going to eat it?
No, it almost hit me in the face. It's fine.
The judge is not going to be able to see it either.
Yeah. And I feel like that's also important to say, like you're living this every single day. So you may be focused on like the first third of the show where you think it's going wrong. And that's like the zone that you are living in. But you may totally be unaware of the like back 64 count sequence of what's going wrong there.
Right. When they, or a judge says, I noticed blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh my God, how did I not even, you know, it's one of those things that you have to trust I know it's hard, but you do have to trust when they don't see it on a first read sometimes. Mm-hmm. Are you being intentional about what you want them to see?
Well, it's like I tell the kids, is it obvious enough? Is it obvious that this is toe down to them?
My chair keeps sinking. Do you notice that I keep falling down? I'm like at the bottom of my desk now. Anyhow, it's one of those things that I look at it and I go, okay, well, we get asked on a tape. When you get asked on a tape, what am I supposed to be looking at? Or what line do you really want me to hear? Mm-hmm. That means they're letting you know that there's stuff going on. They're recognizing it, but they're just not quite sure what you want
how
us
it's
to
supposed
do.
To be communicated.
So you have to be more intentional about what that is. Yeah. So that's how I deal with judge tapes as the head of it. And then how I disperse that is through the lesson plan or through meetings with design about changes and things. Like yesterday I had a meeting with percussion, and you know, there's just different things that you do to go, okay, I think we should do blah 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 blah.
I will say it is cool sometimes floating through the lot after prelims and seeing all like all the organizations kind of doing their own little powwows with their speakers behind them, and just listening to judges tapes and just watching that process happen is pretty cool. And here like something that we do, and I know we've talked about it, is we tend to post the sheets of what judges are looking for, just and talk about it in semi detail, just so the kids can understand, you know, what is being asked of them or what judges are looking for. And it's great. It's great to also show them, like on the BOA sheet on the left side of the sheet, it has all these questions that the judges are supposed to answer, you know, throughout the show before they put that number down.
So ours are posted. I'm sorry. Yes. I need a little sugar rush. Yeah. Ours are posted around the band hall right now.
Yes.
And so in terms of vocabulary, what do?
I mean, we sit them down and we talk through them. And we say, well, this is where... So based off of last Saturday's contest, we've kind of went caption by caption and say, okay, this is your VPI number. Where does this sit in this box? Okay, what's the goal? And the thing that we talked about for next week, what's the goal? We want to sit in this portion of this box. That's
we do this because our kids...
They're so analytical, and it drives us crazy sometimes because you have to have 8 different ways to explain the same idea to them. But numbers and data is king here, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have eaten whatever I had. Now it's stuck to my face.
Yeah, it's like those caramel things.
And I can't get it to go down. So let's talk about, so in the language I use at the tower, I go, is that consistent? Is that sometimes? Is it usually?
What box is this in right now? Infrequently, sometimes, you're in trouble. So, like, for example, I'm looking at the general effect music. And if you're not aware, if you literally just Google Bands of America Adjudication Handbook, you can pull up the 2024 handbook, and obviously it's just a sample. But I'm scrolling through the general effect music sheet right now, and like the left side, it says effectiveness of musical repertoire, creativity and imagination, use of time and pacing, appropriate range of expressions. And then at the bottom of that, it asks, to what degree does the band demonstrate creativity and originality and success in musical staging and placement, elevation, development, connection, evolution? So I mean, as an educator, I do think it's important to share this kind of information with your kids, just to have them understand, you know, what is being asked of them.
Right. So we start, especially this week, we've used a lot of the language from the BOA sheet, because that is what they're being evaluated on this week. And then we'll hit the UIL sheet the next go around, because those sheets have changed a little bit. So we'll post those up so they understand, you know, depending on the circuit, this is kind of what's happening. And then what's really important to us is, because our kids are data driven, we show them the recaps. Yeah. We take time out of the class day to sit down with them, you know, 10 minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes. And we dissect between prelims and finals ourselves, and where we went in terms of, because we'll ask them, like, what show did you think was better? You know, and they'll say, finals, because, you know, it's under the lights and they have fun. And then we look, And the recap is way better in prelims.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, it looks like you had, according to them, according to the data, that's incorrect. You know, and so we talked to them about that, like Riaz was saying, about what does that mean? How does that score come about? Because I talked to, we talked to them about content versus achievement, because those are two boxes, you know, the left side of the sheet versus the right side of the sheet. And kind of question them, do we think that it's the content or do we think it's the achievement with the students? And so they have to answer that for themselves, is do they understand the content and did they execute it well?
And it's also cool that every once in a while, like it happened at lunch the other day, a kid goes, can you talk to us about content versus achievement?
And oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you chimed in. He's more of the left side of the page.
No, he's the right side of the page. I was like, he doesn't understand the left side as much as he does the right side.
No, yeah.
Because Riaz just looks at the... Riaz is one of those that, like...
It's like, this is what I see.
This is what I see, so this is what it is.
Yes.
And me, I'm watching how it all develops, and I'm like, oh...
Well, you've also been doing this a whole lot longer than
that. That is true. Yeah. That is true.
You're more in depth.
Exactly. So it was just one of those, like, ah.
I just thought that was really funny. Like, so whoa, where did that come from?
Well, they said, we've been listening to the podcast, and we would really like you to explain content versus achievement. And I just started laughing. I was like, and here it goes.
We're doing this to ourselves.
This is what the kids want to know. But they appreciate, because I'll hear them talking about the recap. And, you know, like, so what does that mean? And it's like, man, my choreo was bad. That was part of my, you know, just where it is. And when you listen to the tape, sometimes we will play tapes in class for them. But sometimes we'll just download them and let the kids listen to them. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, he was around me. That's my fault. You know, or... Did you hear that? That's me. Who was that? Who is that? That's C, whatever. You know, that's T, whatever. And so they'll start talking about that with each other. And then they use that data in the leadership team to then help address things on the field. And so the last thing would be, what does the data show in terms of where are the next steps that we go?
Before we, like, just right before, just a quick little statement. The thing that we do preach, though, is, like, prelims is one contest, and finals is a whole different ballgame. So the numbers don't necessarily have to match because it's just a new show.
Right. Every time you perform, it's a new show. And so you want to make sure, you can't say, like, oh, we're doing this, so we did this best. But people are in different captions.
Yes.
And so that's a big thing about it. But what the numbers show is how we use that is where do we go in terms of development for the next week? You know,
I think it's more of like a trajectory thing.
Right. Or where do we think we can go over the next couple of weeks when we take that data and those, you know, because the best thing about what it is that we do in music education is this constant feedback. It's immediate feedback. Mm-hmm. And it's constant evaluation, which not other subjects get all the time. And so we get seven different, you know, from seven different judges, we get seven different sets of feedback that we then sit there and go, okay, we analyze and decide what takes priority in certain rehearsals. So for instance, on Monday, we knew that we had to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And so Monday wasn't necessary. We took two of the changes that the judges gave us because we knew we needed something, but we weren't sure what it was. And so we took that change and then so blew it up a little bit, added to what we needed to because we had a timeline of what needed to be added. And then on Tuesday, I was out, but Riaz did the rehearsal and they reinforced what was done on Monday, but also started digging in to some of the feedback that we highlighted that we wanted to correct on Tuesday. And so tonight is about preparing us and feeling really successful about Saturday. I've built a very detailed lesson plan about visual cleaning or musical cleaning or double checking some stuff that we've already done, just making sure we're set up right.
And I will say, like, format week to week is also really important. So the thing that our process here is Mondays are, this is all new, let's blow this up.
Change days.
Tuesdays is kind of tweak/reinforce. And Thursdays, it's usually wrap this up, rep. Is it in your feet? Let's do it again, rep. Just so we know that the kids have an understanding of what is being asked of them, you know, that week.
Yeah, we try not to do any major change on any day but Monday.
Yeah.
If we make slight adjustments, that's what it is. Like I'll check this change I'm gonna see, and if I think it can be fixed, I'll do it today. But if not, I'll just put it in next week.
But we're also very fortunate that we are able to go outside
during class.
So that's additional.
But we don't do it every day. I think people think we do this. We only do it twice a week.
So that also helps. You know, we go outside on Tuesdays during class. So anything that we see that they're struggling with based off of Monday's run at the end of the rehearsal, we kind of start to reinforce that on Tuesday, just so, you know, we help them better understand. And the scale of student to teacher in classes is a smaller scale than using the full ensemble. So we're able to, you know, get in and provide closer to one-on-one feedback and instruction,
right,
just because we're on the floor and we can see most of the time.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we break it down, and that's how we use the feedback that we get from judges and from other people, clinicians that come in, you know, making big decisions about what we need to next. And I think that transfers into like a pre-OIL as well, as like when you get tapes for that, when you're doing that for concert season, like you don't hear shape here, you don't hear this. So it's just on a different scale and a different setting, but feedback is super, super important for the development of you as an educator, but also for the students as they begin to perfect their craft as much as they can. So we wanted to talk about that because we haven't really talked about how we use that stuff with what we do. So we hope that it'll be helpful to you as you're continuing on your competitive journey.
Yeah, and if there's a specific way that, you know, you interpret the sheets or you do something different with the kids, let us know because we want to know.
Yeah, we're interested in all that kind of stuff. We're data junkies too.
intermissionbandpod23@gmail.com. Still no emails.
Yeah, but I hear that they can talk to us on Spotify.
Yeah, apparently you can leave comments. I haven't figured that out yet.
How to read them?
No, like see them or the ability to comment. I'm getting older.
You have memory issues.
My knees hurt. It's been a whole thing. My back.
Are you complaining right now?
About my knees? Yeah. What do you want from me?
Anyhow, we hope you guys have a great day. If you have any questions, don't feel... why did I say don't feel? Don't feel like you can't contact us. That's what I meant to say. But hope you have a great week. If you're out there for the first time this weekend, best of luck to you. If you're recovering from last weekend and you got another, best of luck to you. If you're hosting something, Lord love you.
Good luck, everybody, all around.
Also, East Coast folks, if you're listening.
Oh, yes.
We are thinking if you need something, please reach out.
Yes.
And
do what we can.
Exactly. We all band together. No pun intended.